This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
As temperatures rise and many people head off on holidays, it's a good time to think about staying safe in the sun and managing the heat. While most of us know the basics of sunscreen and hydration, many people don't realise that certain mental health medications can affect how the body regulates temperature, increasing the risk of heat-related illnesses. To help us understand what to watch out for and how to stay safe this summer, I'm joined by Dr. Brian Higgins from the Galway Primary Care Centre and the Galway Skin Clinic. Dr. Brian, thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening. We all love to look forward to the sunny weather, but tell me, what are the biggest health risks people should be aware of when spending long periods of time in the heat?
Well, I suppose really there's two big things that we need to look out for. One is the actual damage of the sun itself. When it comes to sun, there's two types of UV radiation that we have to be really cautious about. UVA, which ages the skin, and UVB then, which causes burns to the skin. Generally, when we're using SPF 30 or ideally 50, is generally there to protect against burning. So it's really important to use a broad spectrum SPF that also blocks UVA, because it's that aging that creates a lot of the premature skin aging, but also increases the risk of cancer with exposure over time. And now, especially as you can see in Europe, where we have these soaring levels of heat. The second thing is actually illness from the heat itself. And younger people and older people are less well able to adapt to extremes of heat. And that can cause just generally heat exhaustion or dehydration, or in more severe cases, heat stroke.
Let's look at, first of all, skin there. I know that you've mentioned UVAA and UVB as well. Did not know until right now, this moment, even myself, that they were two separate things. I feel like you learn something new every day. It's so valuable to have this information. Obviously, the weather is getting warmer. We're probably going to see warmer summers across the board. People know that they probably need to put on the sun cream, but how can they actually prevent the long-term skin damage with that?
When it comes to UV exposure, what I'd always say to patients, UVB is sort of blocked by clouds. So we get burned on sunny days, but UVA can penetrate the clouds. So that's aging our skin all of the time. So it's about just good skincare, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just really basic, and having a good broad spectrum SPF that you apply every day. And it's a very strange thing to get into the habit of just applying sunscreen on every day, whether it's sunny or not. So the key is to try find a broad spectrum sunscreen that you actually like, because sometimes I think we all remember being kids and being at the beach and putting on like a really heavy sunscreen and sand is sticking to it. And you're like, oh, miserable. But there's such wonderful sunscreens out there that really just feel like moisturizers, and they're so effective, and they can feel really nice in the skin and not feel very heavy or cakey. Because I think a lot of us kind of have those early memories of putting on creams that we don't really like. And that's not what sunscreen should be. It's about finding one that you really like and it just being in part of a normal regime. Now, obviously, there's, you know, putting on a UV protection like SPF, but also just being a bit clever. Like if you're going for a long walk, putting on a hat, even slapping on some sunglasses, and using clothing that has a UV protection factor in it. So just covering up, because sunscreen itself can only do so much. If you're out in the baking heat at 12 o'clock and you're going for a really long walk, there's only so much you can ask the sunscreen to do.
I love that you mentioned there that nearly everyone has that memory of being caked in the sunblock when they were younger and it being greasy and sticky. It's come a long way even since then. And you're right, you can find ones that work for you every single day. Let's look at skin cancer. We know it's the most common cancer type in Ireland at the minute, yet you see people nearly bragging about their sunburn and their suntan every day of the week. Now, what are the signs to look out for when it comes to early detection of skin cancer that people should be aware of?
So like when it comes to skin cancers, there are melanomas, which are really, really, like all skin cancer is scary. The scariest skin cancer is melanoma skin cancer. It's unfortunately very, very common. It has a very high mortality rate and does affect younger people as well as older people. When it comes to melanoma, generally melan is referring to melanin or the pigment. So these are often new or changing moles. So at any age, if we get a new mole or we have a mole that's changing or that's becoming itchy or ulcerated or just looks a little bit different or weird, always get it checked out. It's not always bad, but the sooner you get a changing mole checked out, the better. The other is your basal cell carcinomas and squamous cell carcinomas. And these are a little bit more common as we get older, and they're generally due to long-term sun exposure. So they're a lot more common in areas of exposed skin. Melanomas can occur in places where there is no sun exposure, so they can happen even on the soles of the feet. But basal cell carcinomas and squamous cell carcinomas can occur in areas that are covered up, but are much more common in exposed areas. And they can appear as a little bump or a little ulcer or a little pimple that's not going away or a scab that won't be healed. A general good rule of thumb, if there's something on your skin that's persistent and changing, and if it's been there for a couple of weeks, just get it checked out. Hopefully it's something very benign that can be treated with a cream and we can get rid of it. Or a lot of skin cancers, if we don't identify them early, they're one and done. We can just cut them out and get rid of them. But if they're left for a very long time, unfortunately, that's when they can metastasize and do a lot of damage and be fatal.
That's when you run into a lot of the issues. So it is always a great general rule of thumb that if you're worried about anything or you notice anything different, just get it checked out, even just for your peace of mind. We've mentioned there heat exhaustion. That's another health risk of living in the very, very warm weather. But I know that there are some medications, particularly mental health medications, that can actually affect how the body copes with hot weather. A lot of people talking about that over the last couple of weeks. Can you explain exactly why that happens?
But we do have lots of different medications. Some of the medications that we're using for our mental health work because they work on our nervous system, and our nervous system is involved in heat regulation. The most common form of medications that people are on are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. There are medications like fluoxetine or escitalopram, and they're very commonly prescribed for anxiety and depression. They can increase the risk of sunstroke a little bit, but they're generally very, 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 very safe. And what I would say is for people just to be a bit aware, look, if you're feeling really hot and you feel like you're sweating loads, just make sure you're being well, don't let it push it too far. Just be sure you're well hydrated and you're getting a little bit of shade. Other medications, like stimulant medications, which are being more commonly prescribed for attention deficit disorder, lithium and antipsychotics, they potentially have a higher risk of overheating. So it's a bit like the more you are, if you're on a medication that's going to increase your risk, it's not about stopping the medication. It's just about being aware that you're potentially at a slightly higher risk of getting heat stroke or overheating. So just be careful. Just bring a fan with you. Maybe make sure you're wearing some light clothes. Seek shade during the hottest parts of the day. And the most important thing is just staying very well hydrated.
In general, even if you're not taking a medication like that, where that could potentially just increase your risk that bit more, what actually are the warning signs that someone is becoming overheated or developing heat exhaustion in general? When should someone then even think about getting medical attention if they do feel like they do feel particularly bad?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately heat and alcohol don't mix particularly well for two reasons. One is that alcohol can, even though it's taking a fluid, it is a fluid, it can be a little bit dehydrating. So it increases the risk of dehydration, but also it reduces our awareness and it increases our tolerance of discomfort. So if somebody's outside drinking, just to be a little bit careful and make sure we're getting plenty of water. But for most of us, the early signs is feeling very hot, just feeling uncomfortable. Generally negative feelings like that is your body telling you, hey, there's something going wrong, do something about it. So if you're sitting there thinking, God, I am too hot, it's probably because you are too hot and just take a little break from the sun. Heavy sweating, weakness, dizziness, maybe getting some headache, starting to feel crampy or nauseated, or getting palpitations, feeling that your heart is racing. These are all signs to just get out of the sun and just getting to a cooler place, lots of water and out of the direct sun, and should be absolutely fine. Heat stroke is different. This is where the body's temperature changes so much that it's not able to regulate itself properly and it starts to misbehave or dysfunction. And people can become confused. They can develop seizures, or they can get a very high temperature that won't come down. If one of your friends and you're out, if they're starting to act just a little bit strange, be confused, be very weak, that's a sign that maybe you should call an ambulance.
Really good to have all of that information, particularly if people are heading away to hot countries on holidays as well, any time of the year. But at the minute, that seems to be what everybody wants to be doing, understandably. Let's just briefly touch on hydration. Obviously, we all know drinking lots and lots of water in the heat, that is what you should be doing. Is that enough, or should people be doing other things to protect themselves hydration wise? I know people can talk about taking hydration tablets and things like that. Is it necessary? Is it a TikTok myth that we're seeing?
So all hydration, all these oral rehydration solutions and these rehydration tablets, they're just a little bit of salt. And we absolutely do need salt. But a lot of time there's enough salt in our food. But during times of excessive sweating, I don't know if any of you have ever gone for like a run in really hot weather and you've been really sweating, and then the sweat dries and you can see this like white lacy tracks left in your arm where the sweat was. That's actually salt that's being excreted in the sweat. So when we are sweating an awful lot, we use salt. So taking an oral rehydration solution is absolutely fine. Again, you shouldn't really need them that much unless there's an extreme of sweating. What I would just say is if you're thirsty, be sure you're drinking. When you're peeing, your pee should be in like a nice clear yellow. If it's becoming a very dark yellow, you need to drink some more water. And if you're drinking water and you're still feeling really thirsty, maybe adding in a rehydration solution. They're not expensive. They shouldn't be expensive. Generally, they're just a little bit of salt, and you're popping to your local pharmacy is the best place to go, and they'll guide you on what to take and when to take it.
Pharmacists can be really helpful, in fairness. That is amazing advice. Brian, before I let you go, what are your top three tips for enjoying the sunshine while also protecting both your physical and your mental well-being this summer?
Gosh, that's a brilliant question. When it comes to enjoying the sun, it's just about waiting. The sun will still be there on a hot day in 10 minutes. So try to get your sunscreen on before you go outside. Sunscreen takes a little time to work. So putting it on, just, you know, when you get up in the morning, maybe even have it in your bedroom, or have some sunscreen in your bedroom before you get, when you come out of the shower, before you put your clothes on, just lather yourself, get that base layer of sunscreen on early. Don't wait until you get to the beach to put it on. The second thing is not to overdo it. Excess is rarely a good idea, and whether that's excessive sun exposure or excessive alcohol, it rarely ends well. So just taking things nice and slow and enjoying them, but not overdoing them. And then when it comes to managing our mental health, that's such a broad question that has a million answers. But generally, it refers back to what I said earlier. Like, there's so much wisdom in our feelings. You know, if we're in the sun and we feel uncomfortable, that's your body telling you, hey, get out of the sun. If you're there and you're starting to feel thirsty, that's your body, hey, saying to drink. And again, in general, with our mental health, you know, if we're feeling unhappy or anxious, it's not to ignore those feelings. It's just to go into them and say, oh, why am I feeling like this? And what is it my body needs right now? And if you don't know what that answer is necessarily, and you can't, and those feelings are persistent, you should always go and ask for some help.
Dr. Brian Higgins from the Galway Primary Care Centre and the Galway Skin Clinic, thanks for joining me on iRadio's Group Chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.